look, a lot of the time when I come in and teach, I work eclectically with whoever's there. So a lot of the time I ask the group, what do they want to learn? Because usually what happens is someone will give me exactly what they need to figure out or what they need to learn. So I'll go through all of that. And most people, what they do is they give me the out and about self-defense. What if someone approaches me or someone's following me or anything like that? So I will answer any question that comes up on the night and give them the ability to find their own solution. So a lot of that will be, you know, maybe kicks, punches, blocks, how to get out of different holds, how to do some pressure points, which is always a lot of fun.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
I'm nominating Jamie to be the assistant on that one.
Am I going to play the attacker at this night, am I? So I'll get beaten up on the night.
Well, maybe not beaten up, but I'll have you in a puddle of pain on the floor.
A puddle of pain. Okay.
Yes. It's like my Christmas is coming early. What you do is remarkable, and you've always been driven by this. Well, for a very long time, you've been driven by this. You are local, so just give us a little bit of a snapshot. How long have you been doing what you do?
Well, I grew up in a very small country town just outside Geelong. I was lucky enough that someone decided to get a martial arts instructor come in. So at 17, on my study leave from school, I started doing martial arts and then realised, oh, hang on a second, I'm not too bad at this. So started doing it, and then as small country towns do come about, it closed down. I moved into Geelong, started training there, then I started training in Melbourne, then I started training on an Australian level. And so therefore now I've been doing it for 34 years and now teaching around the world and doing different things like that, Australian champion, all of that sort of stuff, doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you get to hang out with some pretty cool people as well. One name in particular you said to me, I was like, wow, it's amazing you get to work with those people. Drop some names. Who have you worked with around the world?
I was lucky enough to go to a Tony Robbins event.
Tony Robbins.
Yes.
Wow.
He's the big, cheesy American life coach guy who's got this huge grin, big hands, huge man.
Massive.
It just so happened that me being who I am, I saw an issue and I just took it up to the security team and they said, you're actually really good. and he said, have you ever, had to deal with stuff? And I said, yeah, I've dealt with some stuff. And they said, would you like to come on our team? But we'd need to interview you, make sure that you're all right for a fit. So I've been working with Tony Robbins now for about 5 years and traveling around the world with him, and I'm just about ready to go to America to work with him over there. So.
Well, if you need some assistance,
you have our numbers.
You and I and Jamie have spoken quite openly about, with self-defense, there's a lot of self-encouragement, self-reflection and self-confidence. There's so much more to being prepared than just knowing how to block, knowing where to kick. And it's been really insightful over the last couple of weeks getting to know you and getting to know what you do as well. So just take us through a little bit of what you've found through your business and through the work you do.
Yeah, well, look, one of the things that I came across in teaching self-defense was that I often had people talk to me about, I've been in this situation and I said, and it happened here, and then it happened here, and then it happened here. And then I started exploring, why does it seem to happen to some people multiple times and other people it doesn't? And then I thought, it may be what makes someone a target. And then I thought, what disempowers people? And so I went on this journey about figuring it out. And one of the things that I found out was that the massive statistics we've got on depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies, and one of the statistics which absolutely floored me last year was 65,000 people attempted suicide in this country. Now, as a self-defense instructor, I'm always looking at, how do I teach people how to protect their life? And sometimes it comes down to, how do we learn to believe in who we are so that we actually don't become our own worst enemy, if you like to call it that. So I've gone on a massive journey, and as you already know, I've been working with Tony Robbins, so I've gotten a lot of tools through there. But actually educating people on just how to have a sense of self-belief so that they're, one, less of a target, two, they learn how to build phenomenal relationships. Because the other thing too is that we have some huge statistics on domestic violence in this country too. So I'm looking at, how do I protect a woman in a relationship? How do I protect a man in a relationship? Because I have worked with clients where the offender has been the wife in the relationship. So that's been quite interesting too. So
not that we were blinded by those statistics, when we just thought or first thought of we want to put on this self-defense class, you automatically go to I'm walking to my car after a night out with the girls and we've heard the stories and we've seen the images. But there are so many more different factors to weigh in. There's people protecting from themselves, from abusive relationships, even just we were having a chat about how to defuse a situation at a bar. You don't want to give a man or a woman the wrong impression, but you don't want to demasculate them as well if they try to make a pass at you and you're just not interested.
Yeah, yeah. Look, a lot of what I teach also is the conversation. So if I don't have to teach someone how to hit someone or kick someone, which means that ultimately there's the likelihood of being physically assaulted or hurt or injured is a lot greater, I would prefer that not to happen. So can we create a conversation? Yeah. Mm. How do we de-escalate violence when someone's going off their head? How do we get it back in, you know, in a sense of respect where we're not demanding respect, but we lead respect in that conversation? Mm. And I've often found that, you know, a lot of the conversations I have, people actually feel quite grounded at the back end. And they said, I was going off my head, but you got me so calm. How did you do that?
Well, I was going to say, you've said that to us before, that you've had people in scenarios where you thought, wow, I might get stabbed or shot. And you've talked them from level 10 back down to level 1, which is incredible. Mm. So learning skills like that would be also very handy for everybody else.
Yeah, and look, there's no guarantee in anything that you teach because we've got human beings who have choices. And so therefore, if someone really wants to do something, I'm looking at, okay, if they're at level 10 and they're, you know, punching you in the face, that's not the time to have the conversation.
Excuse me. hang on a second. What you're doing right.
But here's the thing is sometimes you can actually interrupt the whole thing by having a conversation because it's the least thing that is expected. So I'm always looking at how does the power game play? What's the first step in the power game for the offender? And what's the first step that I do that actually doesn't fall into that person getting a kick out of watching me squirm or watching me be intimidated or watching me give away my power? Because the number one thing is that I don't think a lot of people realize how often we give away our power just simply in a conversation. Like I've heard someone came up to me one day and says, I don't want to interrupt. I hope I'm not being, you know, disruptive. And I'm thinking, you've actually entered a conversation saying I'm a disruption. And I'm thinking, why do we do that? And I find women do it a lot more than what men do sometimes.
We over-apologize. We're over-polite. We use the word sorry so often. We throw it around when it's not actually needed.
And we've spoken a lot about emotional health the past couple of weeks. What are people going to walk out of this class with in their heads? As well as physical stuff, but also emotional
stuff. What are you
stuff?
Hoping to impart onto people on the night?
A lot of what I teach is about self-defense for everyday life. So I'm looking about giving them some tools so that they can go home and practice straight away. So I also encourage them not to hurt their partner or their family. That's the number one rule.
All right, in practice on them, don't do that? Don't practice?
No, they can practice, but just don't injure them. One of the things which I love to teach is to show people that they don't need to have physical strength to actually be part of this class. About 3 weeks ago, I actually taught a quadriplegic group. So, and people were just blown away about what the ability that they have. So number one thing is I work with people's ability, not with the things that they can't do. So if you're not physically strong or you've got an ailment or you've got an injury of some kind, I still say to you, come along. Don't think that this is not a class for you. The second thing is I will give you multiple little tools that you can use where you can go and practice with your work colleagues, but it'll be the conversation. It's about changing your complete conversation into something that empowers you. So a lot of what I talk about is what's called love and trust and fear and doubt. And often when we're disempowered, we often fall into fear and doubt. So what I'm doing is actually giving people the ability to change the conversation through the words that they choose, which actually inspires their brain to find what they want in life, not what they don't want in life. We often have a conversation where we say, hey, I don't like this, what you're doing, but then we don't follow up the conversation and say, this is what I want. So those are some of the skills that you will learn. So the other skills are if inevitably everything goes wrong and you've got someone physically coming at you, the things that are going to help you the most without actually learning martial arts skills. So you don't have to be, you know, like a martial arts expert to come. So I'm looking at just strategically, what are the small, minute, little things that you can do to actually improve your physical ability to get out of this situation, find your resources, find your help, defuse this through whether you scream, whether you yell, whether you walk fast, whether you stay silent, whether you have a conversation. So there's multiple different things that you're going to learn on that night.
I think we'd have to agree, Jamie. One thing is evident through this whole couple of weeks is how passionate Fiona is for self-defense, but also empowering men and women across Geelong and the Surf Coast. We honestly have had
so excited
hours of conversation with you, and I learn something new every single time. I think that's just important life lessons and life skills that we live in a world of digital age now. I think sometimes we lose the reality of how to deal with situations. We're so used to hiding behind a screen now.
Exactly. Yeah.